How's it going?
Oh, it's good. Just kind of sick today, but that's fine. I've just been trying to like relax my body and like feel better. It's been really, really sunny and warm here, actually. I think
that's
like,
incredible.
It was like 24 the other day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. Usually summer like doesn't start this soon, but it's like been really, really pleasant. And also I like rain. So when it does rain, it's nice to me. I didn't really like Montreal weather.
We can start if you'd like.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Well, hi, I'm Olivia. I recently graduated from McGill with my master's in a degree that I didn't really like, but I'm glad I finished it. I grew up with a chronically ill mother and a sister who was autistic but not yet diagnosed. And as I was growing up, like, my mother's chronic illness was largely hidden from me and my siblings, and I didn't really know anything about disability until I became chronically ill as well into my mid-20s. So I guess I grew up around disability, but I didn't really understand it until, like, really recently. And becoming disabled definitely influenced my work and changed how I wanted to serve my community. And my research into fan fiction and fan spaces naturally came out of my disability work because I was mainly interested in accessible content and accessible communities. That said, I was looking for a way out of the institution while still being inside of it, and I really, I don't know, I spent more time trying to think about how I could work outside of the institution while still being credited with the degree than actually being physically or mentally on campus. By the time I had to propose something for my master's thesis, I was like pretty tired of paper formats and wanted a text that could go like live and move beyond the university. And I also, like I said, wanted to make something that was more accessible to a non-academic audience. That was like really important to me, to work towards deinstitutionalizing my knowledge and language, which is something I like hadn't ever really thought about in my undergrad. Because you're just in like constant like training mode to like learn how to talk like you're in an institution. And then I also knew that I wanted to make something for a YouTube audience and to allow people to access my film for free and to watch and to match the community medium-wise that I was directly talking about. Because I didn't want to talk about a community and then just kind of like extract everything and not like live and spend time there. Like, I had to put up quite a fight with my department to push a movie past them since it didn't really follow an understood scholarly format. But eventually I did get it approved after agreeing to write a short companion paper to the film, which was like really, really annoying. And I hated writing that paper, but I guess I'm like glad it's also made its way into existence, although I think my film will reach a lot more people. I can't actually remember very well how I came upon the decision to animate the film. I think it initially started out as a simple desire to reenact one of the first disabled fanfics that I've read. And I think this was even before I switched my thesis topic from disability in science fiction to disability in fan fiction. The medium was perfect for a film on fan fiction, I think, since the 3D community I was using and the program I was using seemed to be comprised of other amateur animators that closely paralleled the skill level and aesthetic of fan fiction. So, yeah, all of these things kind of came together, and I just kind of like started watching tutorials and tinkering away, and then it eventually turned into a thesis film.
There was also one point in the film that I found in the animation, like there's a character in a wheelchair and another character pushing them, and you stop and you say that the character, like the wheelchair that's present in the animation isn't actually like the one that the character would be using. Do you know which moment I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's one of the, that's actually the fan fiction that started me into this whole area. That's
okay.
The one that I read first. Twilight fan fiction written by a woman, at the time a girl with cerebral palsy, and she is in love with Bella Swan. So basically, she just writes the story for herself, where she writes her character into Forks High School and then sets it up so she meets Bella Swan, and then they fall in love. And there's some, like, tension because Bella is currently with Edward. From the information that I gleaned from the story, she sometimes uses forearm crutches and sometimes she uses a wheelchair. And she doesn't use a manual pushing wheelchair. She uses a power chair. But I couldn't find any 3D, assets for my program that were power chairs. I could only find, scooters or, push wheelchairs, hospital wheelchairs, which I thought was really interesting that there was, because there was a whole other subset of, kind of strange fetishy disabled items available in this community.
Okay.
So that's kind of why I had to insert that little narrational note being this wheelchair is not accurate. She wouldn't be using this, but it's all I could do with my skill and my time and my labor for now. I did learn animation for this project, and I had never before this touched any kind of animation software up until this point, and I had never made a film either. And now that I look back at my first attempts at the stuff I did make after watching tutorials online, I find it hilarious. And as I continued making the film, I did get a lot better. So there are entire sections of the film that I made when I really didn't know anything, and other sections where I felt more comfortable with the program I was working in. But I also felt the inconsistency was actually good and was working towards my aesthetic and matching the material that I wasn't directly engaging with. I experimented first with Daz 3D, and then I moved on to Poser since it was a better program for animating. And Daz 3D is more for people who like making still images and comics, and it's often really pornographic. Wow. It's really, really bizarre and an interesting community. And anyways, I just wanted everything to be really amateur and at times derivative in order to align myself more authentically with Spanish practices. And I was committed to being an amateur, and it gave me a lot more freedom to kind of keep things that were a bit off rather than reworking them and trying to make them look cleaner than it would look in that community. So with Poser, it was also relatively user-friendly, so I could learn how to use it with no previous experience, which was important. And it also had a rather lively community that offered free tech support and things like free 3D assets, which again made this a viable program to use. So now I have this huge personal library of 3D assets, and there's I have different kinds of beds and pairs of jeans and t-shirts. I own more 3D assets in than I do in real life. And I have ships from Star Trek, and there's an alien from the film Alien, and there's Harry Potter stuff and cloaks and wands. And all of this stuff is made by other community members, which is really, was really fascinating to me before, and I hadn't ever encountered that sort of free, entirely free, happy for people to use their labor, their stuff in their own kind of animations and still images. So you have this base figure, and there's morphs that you can apply. So you can change how their facial structure looks and their breast size and their waist size and stuff like that. Even toenail length you can change on some figures. So a lot of people offer free mods. So you can type in a popular celebrity, Sigourney Weaver, I can never pronounce her name, and someone will make her because there's a lot of alien fans in this community. All of this labor, the Spanish labor, is all unpaid. And as I was reading more about fan fiction, a lot of fanfic scholars were kind of talking about how this is a labor of love. And I think these fan communities kind of have this established history of utilizing non-hierarchical models of information sharing and knowledge acquisition and artistic practices, and they're horizontal, communal, and collaborative. And it's like, yeah, so the fanfic community itself is made up of different members, like content producers and moderators and beta reviewers, and they're all kind of like collectively doing a ton of work. And it's the same thing in kind of like the 3D community. Like some people like were really bad, like they didn't have any good ideas for in their animations, but they just knew how to like tech support someone. And so they'd create these like really long tutorials about how to create fog, like a fog like mist in like a photograph or an animation in the program. But they didn't really make anything beyond those kind of tutorials, which were really helpful though. It wasn't entirely unpaid just because the film was part of my academic labor. So I've been paid in academic standing, which is like a form of social currency. So I guess I like invested into the professional arena. And then I did have to purchase equipment, like a computer that could handle rendering animations. I started in January of last year with zero experience, as I said, and finished the film in that May, like last May or so. And I was still like completely an amateur. And I worked every day on it, often for 8 hours a day. And it would take my computer about an hour to render at 60 frames, which is like 2 seconds of animation, which really stretched the project out for me because it's a 40-minute film. and that part was really frustrating because it kind of limited how long I could work on an actual particular scene. Sarah Ahmed, who my friends are tired of me talking about by now, has like a really good quote. She's discussing her life before finding feminism and states that she, quote, would have liked to know there were other ways of living, of being, end quote. And when I read this, I was just thinking about how I too would have loved to have known this, these other ways of being. And I think fan fiction is all about this. Trying to imagine how things could play out differently in a particular fan universe. And a lot of fanfic explores this thing called shipping, which is essentially pairing characters up into non-canonical relationships and seeing how things play out from there. So for those who aren't familiar, like a popular ship is Draco Malfoy in Harry Potter. And a lot of these ships are slash or same-sex pairings. Like things get really queer in fanfiction. And anyways, I was more interested in disability fanfic, disabled non-canon characters making appearances in different fan universes and seeing what kind of happened from there. And the nice thing about fanfics is that readers review or comment on each chapter as the story is being built and revised since fanfiction is serial and written in installments, like usually anyways. And so as I'm going through the fanfictions I was reading, I spent like more time in the comment section, kind of like reading how other members were responding to disability representation. And what I found was that a lot of the people commenting were also disabled and were really happy to find a character that finally resembled them in some way. And some reviewers had other disabilities and made requests for the fanfic writer to write a character like them, offering tips about how their bodies work so they could get their disability right. And others weren't disabled, but wanted to learn more about disability and had a lot of questions. And like, usually the fanfic authors that I was like spending the most time reading, they're like very happy to like respond actively to all of these questions and comments like later on. Disabled fanfics written by non-disabled authors were, when I did find those ones, they were usually really awful to get through and didn't really make any sense at all. Like in one of them, because I was reading a lot of disabled Twilight specifically, because I kind of just wanted to choose one fandom to focus on rather than kind of getting confused and like just all over the place thinking about other fandoms. So there's one where Bella's in a wheelchair. She's a wheelchair user and she goes up some stairs in one of the fanfics I was reading, and like reviewers were quick to point out that this was like an inconsistency. They're like, wait, but she's in a wheelchair. It's just clear that the writer had no imagination for how different bodies might move around their own world. And it was clear that they had never known or probably even talked to another disabled person before. And I also found that some disabilities were more popular than others. Like, fanfics were more likely to feature a character who was autistic or deaf or a wheelchair user. And it was very hard to find other kind of disabilities being represented, like diabetes or lupus or Parkinson's. A few months ago, my previous roommate asked me if there was an acronym for disability, like we have for LGBTQ++. And, you know, disability rights movements have a different history from LGBTQ+ movements, but they also, of course, intersect. And I thought this was, like, a really good question and one that I'd never thought about before, but I've thought a lot about since then. And, you know, our disabled future is still forming, not to suggest that the LGBTQ+ community isn't still forming and growing either, but in the States, there's something like the ADA, which is the Americans with Disabilities Act, and it's been expanding its definitions of disability since it came into being, which was in 1990. Canada still doesn't have one, and hopefully we'll have one soon. But it seems like most disability rights movements have initially been centered around visible disabilities, like wheelchair users, to kind of connect to maybe the last question and the last point about representation. And so non-visible disabilities have kind of been left out in not only policy making, but also in the disability community itself. So I think, like, people with non-visible disabilities are often met with discrimination or suspicion since they fail to present as disabled or disabled enough to claim access to benefits or accommodations. And this failure kind of puts them in a sticky situation where they're often under constant surveillance and have to demonstrate or convince others that their impairments exist. So, like, for instance, my mom, who very much presented as non-disabled, she had, like, a disabled parking pass. And she would get harassed for this, like, constantly because people just didn't think that she had a disability that would warrant her to have a closer parking space to a store. And this is, like, something that she had to deal with, like, every day, which is, like, troublesome because it makes going outside of her house even more difficult than it was already for her and even, like, more alienating. And then it's also exhausting because you don't want to tell everyone that you meet in public, like, what your chronic illness is. You just like to have, like, a normal conversation about anything else, basically. Yeah, but I think these things are kind of hopefully changing right now, and people are becoming more in tune to non-visible disabilities and are more welcoming of them, at least. And in my own disability work, going back to kind of like the disabled possibility of a disabled acronym, I usually include the following groups when talking about the community. So I put, like, if I do, like, a call out for something, I put, like, disabled, chronically ill, deaf, hard of hearing, fat, mad, and neurodivergent. And I think, like, maybe it would make, like, making an acronym out of this would be a bit weird and also wouldn't necessarily work since we also have, like, different histories and movements. Constant misunderstanding about what disability is, and a lot of bad movies are coming out of Hollywood that either erase disability from the narrative or, like, kill disability off entirely. I'm trying to think of, like, some films, like Me Before You was, like, a really bad one that I avoided, but I watched a lot of reviews from other disabled people who are just, like, upset that something like this could happen in the mainstream. And when these movies come out, it just is apparent that disability just doesn't fit anywhere for them, or and it doesn't fit anywhere, like, in a good way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, this disability, just, like, it's never given a good future in the media, I feel. People just need to start talking to people with disabilities and, like, mm-hmm. hiring them and prioritizing them and putting them, like, in front, between, or behind the scenes, like, wherever they're most comfortable. Even just thinking about reading that fan fiction I mentioned at the beginning with the girl with cerebral palsy. I mean, because, like, my disability is very different from cerebral palsy, and, like, my body doesn't move around the world like that. So it was really interesting to, like, kind of see, like, what she has to do, and also how that informs her own sexuality, because this fan fiction is, like, super hot and erotic. It's nice because, like, encountering other disabilities, like, I think about things in so many different ways, and I kind of, like, that influences how I do things, or, like, think of, like, also helping my own body do things. Because I have chronic pain all the time, I was thinking about how my chronic pain could then be kind of, like, sexy in this instance, whereas she has, like, straps that hold her legs in place when she's using a wheelchair, and then, like, Bella Swan is, like, helping stabilize her as she goes up the stairs without any sort of other medical equipment as assistance. And, like, the way that she wrote about it and the kind of, like, physical and emotional pleasure she got about it, out of it, was, like, really, really sexy to me, and, like, made me feel, like, less bad about how my own body works. I mean, it was just, I think, one of the lines that Cass said was, like, you don't have to do so much imagining anymore. You can finally kind of just relax and, like, feel turned on by this body that looks like yours, and derive, you know, whatever pleasure you get out of that interaction with the fan fiction. And it's just nice because then maybe others reading that too can realize that they can interact with those types of bodies and feel desire for them, and, like, a healthy desire.
And how did you actually end up finding the individuals who you interviewed for the documentary?
Okay, well, I first tracked down one of the authors of the fanfic. The one that I keep on talking about.
Yeah, wow.
the cerebral palsy Effie Bella Swan / fanfic. And this was actually really difficult because to find her, like, actual contact, because her fanfiction.net account provided a link to an older account where I hoped to find more contact info. And then I sent her a private message to both accounts and waited and didn't hear anything back because I expected that she no longer used those accounts because the story was, like, a decade old. And then I went back to her profile one day and found her YouTube account, which then had her email, and then I emailed her. And then she responded that day and was interested in participating, because this is, like, the very, very beginnings of the film. It eventually didn't work out that I would interview her because I couldn't find the money to fly to California, which is where she is right now. She's working in Hollywood, actually, in, I think she's doing script writing and some sort of filmmaking. So it's really cool because I think that her writing fan fiction actually kind of, like, directly led her into the vocation that she wanted to do. So after finding her and then deciding that that couldn't work, I did some Googling and came across the two scholars working in disability and fan fiction, and they lived in Toronto. And they're the ones in my film who are sitting beside each other, their roommates, incidentally. And so I emailed them, and then I made a crazy amount of Craigslist posts in both the States and Canada to find at least one more participant. I also joined about like 20 fanfic groups on Facebook, and the Facebook group thing was like a total gatekeeping nightmare, I found, because like the moderators were super controlling and had strict rules, and like everyone was suspicious of me coming into these Facebook groups, like asking for people to just talk about like if they wrote disabled characters in fan fiction. There was like no one there who was actually interested in writing about disability, I found. Or like if they did write a bit about disability, they were like writing really ableistic fanfics. And then eventually I got one response to a Craigslist post that I'd made in New York. And then the two scholars also signed on by this point. It took me a lot just to find three people who were like equipped to talk about the subject.
Wow.
And then after finding them, I had to undergo a whole ethics review process, which I think everyone should undergo in their own research, especially when working with like marginalized communities. And I think I'd say what I learned most is that you know, I was actually like, at this point, I was desperately trying to find my own disabled community, and I didn't really know anyone else who was disabled at that time and was unsure about my own position to speak about disability and disabled experiences. This was kind of just in the point in my own health where I was kind of like coming into just accepting that I was chronically ill, but I was trying to kind of more convince myself that I wasn't disabled at this point. And after, you know, meeting these people and talking to them and having them involved in the process of my thesis, they really helped ground me and continue my work and growth in this area. And some of them, like, they're all, like, my close friends now, and I have a lot more disabled close friends, and I'm just, like, happy to know them, and I think, like, working on this film kind of helped get me there. I think, like with fan fiction, because they get a lot of hate, they're kind of suspicious of people coming into their community to talk about them, and they want to make sure they're represented right. So I can understand, like, the strict mods and everything, but I expected it to be a bit more welcoming than it was. I had to, like, private message the mods to get their pre-approval, and then I had to like state in the post that it was pre-approved by the mod and that it could exist in that page and like this and that. And then I like talked to some people who were possibly interested in like private messaging again, and like trying to learn a bit more about them and why they were writing disabled characters, but then realizing like it was like not for good reasons, or they weren't like putting in the right amount of work to understand disability. And then I kind of weighed like, could it be interesting if I interviewed one of these people, and then deciding it was probably not suitable for my film. Yeah,
or for your time.
drum, 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 drum,